Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Impact Show on Yachting International Radio, where we meet people who bring a positive impact to the yachting industry. And today we're here to meet Claire from ETYC. Claire, hi, good day to you. How are you doing?
Hi, Nadia. I'm very good. Thank you. And you?
Yeah, super. Thanks very much indeed for joining me today. It's a great pleasure to have you on the show. And we've been talking together for a couple of years around our different initiatives. And so it's great to have a conversation with you here on Yachting International Radio. So perhaps you just give us a little bit of background on your life as a crew member. How did you get into yachting?
Oh, it's a short story. I will make it short, actually. I from Caribbean. The name of the island is Guadeloupe. I grew up there and I arrived in north of France to study psychology. Finally, I lost myself in psychology and I met someone who was working on board a yacht in south of France, Nice. And then I started to work too for my first season on sailing yachts. And then I became chief steward and I stay on board on the same yacht during 7 years. The boat was based in Monaco and I just quit my job in the last May.
Oh my goodness, congratulations. Well, certainly. And how are you finding the transition to shoreside life?
Oh, I think as every crew member, it's not really easy. We are looking for support, but I was lucky because I started my company in 2019. So I had time to be comfortable with my company here in Monaco before leaving my job. I was also really attached to my job because I really loved the family I used to work for and the crew I work with and my cabin I used to live in during 8 years. Yeah, that was a big step for me. As I said, every chapter must end to another one begins. So this was my time to leave. But yeah, I'm really happy to have more time off for myself and to organize my daily routine. I shall be based company now.
Excellent. Yeah. I made the transition myself. Well, I still dip my toe into life on board occasionally, but yeah, it certainly has its challenges, but also its upsides. You know, after a long time at sea and living on board, then it's actually a great shift to make and a natural one in one's career. So yeah, I'd just like to touch base on the recent events. I mean, I was at the Superyacht Forum last week. It was a great event, lots of talk around sustainability and how we must develop as an industry and the pressure from the marketplace and media about what value do we offer as an industry, what's our purpose. And then actually we had a protest by Extinction Rebellion, I think they were called. And they were protesting outside, then they were actually brought on stage. I'm sure you've seen it all over social media. And just give us a little bit of insights onto what you think we need to be doing as an industry to be essentially be doing better. How can we be performing better in order to, I don't want to say challenge or combat, but just to improve our performance and reputation?
Yeah, I think there is absolutely no doubt that we need to be more transparent. If you are looking for information on internet about yachting, you can see only size of boats, the name of owners and story about boats or stuff like that. I think if we are more transparent to everyone, not only inside the yachting industry, people will more understand that this industry is not only around the owner. It's an industry where there is lots of people working in and they are creating lots of jobs, but we just need to show what we are doing. If we don't show and we stay mute, of course, people will come in front of your window and say, no, your thing in the marina. Yeah, of course, I can understand because we can't close our eyes and say, pretending we are not here. Yachts are becoming bigger and bigger. So people walking on the street, going to the beach can see the size of private yachts. And for them, it's crazy because they know after COP27 and all the COP before, they know we need to act more for young people because I saw on the picture there was really young people. It's not 40, the middle age, I think, was about 20 years old, something like this on the picture I could see. They need to understand every business, every industry need to collect data to act and to show to be transparent. Because there is not only the yachting industry now on the people visa, it's also jet, private jets that we can see is always everything around rich people and lifestyle. So if we show to people that the yachting industry is acting and what we are doing, that's going to make the difference. This is the lack that we have.
Yeah, 100%. That if you're not showcasing, if you're not, well, number one, if you're not being accountable, then you're going to come under scrutiny. Ultra high net worth, of course, are under massive scrutiny at the moment. As you mentioned, with all the luxury assets of yachts, villas, jets, and goodness knows what. So, but at the same time, as you say, there's an entire industry which those clients are supporting. So yes, and every other, I think, because, right, who needs a yacht? We're the first one in line for scrutiny. How do we deal with it? So it's a really interesting one. I mean, you mentioned data. You know, I'm in the data strategy. So based on your experience and your insights about the industry, so please tell us about how you've used your power as a leader and your passion to bring positive impact for the yachting industry.
I think every people working in the yacht industry are passionate about the ocean. Take every people working in this industry, even in office, show base, you put them on a boat, say, hey, let's go outside to do a tour. Everyone will be like, yeah, let's go, because everyone loves the ocean. I think the crew have lots of power. And they know this, but we don't give them enough, how can I say, enough...
platform?
Yes, enough. Yes, they need to understand, they need key also, because there is lots of crew contacting me because they want to do better, but they don't know how to start. They need the support also. They need the support of head of department or of the captains, of the management, of the owner. Sometimes what I say most of the times is, take 80 meters yachts. The guests are on board during a season or two seasons, but there are 12 maximum. But how many crew are on board? So the crew life is already a big, like, it's a big area to work on and to reduce the impact. So if we start only with the crew area on every yacht, the owner doesn't care, right? The owner don't care about if we are doing something in the crew area. But the crew will do new action. We will show them how to do it. And we are working as a team building during the training to help the crew to find the leader of the green team. It's not an obligation. It's not obligation head of department. That could be a crew, a green stew, or a green deckhand. So there is no rule for this, but they need to see a map. And where everyone is on the map and where they are going together. Because as we said, they are all in the same boat, right? So, yeah, I think every crew needs to realize that they are working in the best place of the world on board the yacht, and we need to do something, but they need support. Otherwise, they will start and then they will stop to do it, because without support, they will just leave it and nothing will be done.
That's right, yeah. So the name of the company is ETYC.
Yes.
That's Environmental Training for Yacht Crew, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
Correct, yes.
So just tell us a bit about the process, Claire. Do you make an assessment what's the process to deliver your service?
Yes, so the process is three-day training. So we have 2 days for head of department, because they will work with our tools. It's an environmental management system that we train the head of department to put in place on board. It's a special only for every head of department. They will have a different one that will make the folder, like the big part of communication for the guests, for the owners, for the management, for the crew also, for everyone, also for provisioning, for all people that are working with to communicate what they are doing on board and what the objectives and why the provisioner, if they want to continue to work with them, they have to adapt. For example, if they want no plastic for delivery, they can communicate the policy, the environmental policy of the boat, and the provisioning have to deliver it without any plastic packaging. This is, for example, what we do on the head of department training and one day for other crew. So they can stew second chef, cook, or second engineer. And after the 3 days training, I come back one day for the coaching one-to-one with each head of department to work together on the environmental management system for the measure, to measure the action, what they are doing on board now and what's the pollution on their department. And then we find new goals for the year. And every year I come back for an audit to check the new goals of the next year for continuous improvement.
I love it. So you're taking a sort of data scientific approach.
Yes, because we think it's easier to understand, even for the guest, for the owner, what they've done. Because most of the time, it's just, you know, in the cloud. Yes, we're doing this and this, but we need a map. We need to see what is the biggest pollution on board. For example, every boat will be different. For one boat, that would be plastic bottle. For another boat, that would be something else. So it depends on the department, of course. So this environmental management can be adapted on every department. This is our power on this tool.
Excellent. It sounds amazing, really. I think once we have an opportunity to improve our performance, that data is really important to do that, or otherwise it's not credible, right? And this is backed by your system, is supported by ISO, which is in alignment with an ISO code, is that right?
No, the system is inspiration of the ISO standard.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's an inspiration because there is no ISO standard for IMO regulation on the yachting. So this is why I see the ISO standard 40001 and I create my own environmental management system that it's adapting only for the yachting industry.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Because I mean, we have a garbage management plan.
Yes, so I know.
Was that something that you researched and...
Yes, I know the garbage management plan. We are working alongside the garbage management plan. But the thing is, every crew area are not the same size. So many times they are putting garbage together because they have no rooms to sort and to do enough sorting waste. There is also another problem is the garbage management plan. In my opinion, is more designed for big ship that you can, like you have an incinerator or stuff like this. You can't do it on board. So yes, we're working, but most of the time we're trying to find the best solution in the area they have because every boat are different. So we are trying to show them how to organize the best, the sorting best first to reduce the quantity of the waste. Because more you reduce, less you need to sort. It's easier.
Absolutely. And it's so interesting that you're driving that change upwards as well to the suppliers.
Yes, of course. Of course, it's communication. We need to do this because if they don't know, they will not change. It's a chain. It's a circular chain. You have to communicate to your suppliers that you have a way to work and on board there is rules. And these rules, you have to follow them. And new businesses will grow up now because, for example, I used to work on the boat I worked for 7 years and we communicate to the suppliers for manutention of the engine, but I'm not going to say the name. But if there was smoker as in the group or if they come with their food, during the day they're working on board, they can't throw outside on the floor the cigarettes, buds, or in the water. They can't come with plastic boxes for the garbage because it's forbidden on board plastic container. So they have to organize. But if every boat does that, they will organize on their businesses a new way to work. And then there will be a general.
Yeah.
Because they will realize it's easier for them also, because they will spend less money. They will reduce the cost for everything. If they reduce packaging, if they reduce, if, for example, if they decided to do a delivery for everyone together at the same time without boxes, or if they take back the box, sometimes they do that for delivery for fruits, vegetables here in Monaco, but it does that when you are here every time, you know your suppliers, so he knows how you are working and it's an habit. But when you have to go once to one like this, you just stop on a port and you have to leave, and sometimes you have no time to communicate it. But you have a yacht, like a yacht agent. You just communicate your environmental policy to the yacht agent, and he has to communicate it to the suppliers. Then he takes care of this. And on board, that would be easier for you to work with them. So I think it's, I'm always think about responsibility. It's your responsibility to ask questions, to know where it's come from. Every chef does that with the food. No, they are not ordering food that are from, I don't know, another country that is not, you know, most of the time they want French, fresh food or anywhere where is the boat. We need to take more time to understand where the production is made, what you are buying. Your responsibility is to take care of this.
Yeah, very good. I think there's a couple of things that I would say to you from there is one, is the role of the agent, and the other one is power of local. It's an old one, but it's so easy, yet so important and effective. And so are you driving also by local?
Of course.
Well, is that part of the initiative as well? Because that plays a really, the agent, so you've got the yacht, the agent, and the local community, or not, let's say, do you go to Carport or the Agromart? But as you say, yachts move. We don't know every location. We don't know every supplier, but the local agent does. And I think from my experience, it's the local agent plays a really important role in actually, or can play a very important role to develop these elements, bridging the relationship between the yacht and community or local. It's really interesting to identify how an agent can provide that sort of link between the yacht and the local community, that we have an opportunity to engage with more local suppliers over the supermarkets. And that, of course, funnels the economic benefits into local communities easier. It makes things easier for the crew because, as you mentioned before, we're motivated. Perhaps sometimes we don't have the time or the resources to have that impact. So, yeah, are you building those relationships with the agents? Is that part of your strategy?
No, we have no relationship with the agent. That could be really interesting. But this is why with ETYC, we are doing also coaching and consulting for a shore-based company in the yachting industry. They want to change their business model as a circular economy, right? And so we are working, we are communicating this with the crew, but every agent who wants to advise from us, they are more than welcome.
All right. So circularity.
Yes.
Can you explain a little bit expand a little bit on what is circularity? How does that work?
Yes. Circularity is from point A to point A. So I think in the yachting industry, it depends which area you are talking about. If it's about a yacht, from the first day the boat is built to the refit of the old boat to make a new one. So this is, I think, one of the objectives of circularity from a shipyard. But for the crew, the most important is to think, because most of the time it's buying stuff, buying food, buying gas gifts, it's always buying furniture for the boat, to think where it's made, how it's produced, what's the cost of the travel, so the life cycle, and how it's going to be recycled. So if they think like this, they will reduce the quantity of garbage for sure. They will reduce the pollution also, depending on the product they buy, but it's sustainability is a big world now, so they have to understand more about what is sustainability too, but and sustainable material. But yes, circular, it's to think not only the life of the product when you have it. It's think about before and after.
Yeah. Okay, interesting. I talk about circularity. I talk about creating circular models and also referring to economic and ecosystem models where if we have the opportunity to, well, yachting must be in synergy with the oceans and with nature. If we want to enjoy this environment, this activity, then it has to be a zero waste operation. But not only that, but it needs to be a high impact industry. An industry which, through the operation of a yacht, perhaps when a yacht visits a destination, that again we create that join the dots between the yachts, local economy, local initiatives, agents, that we invest actually in those destinations, communities, ecosystems, and that we are able to really boost what impact we have. And that is something that's really in my heart and something that I've experienced from when I first started sailing. Well, I seriously started sailing back in 1995 and I sailed around the world. And I remember when we went to remote destinations, we had a number of gifts to give to the children, or we would go into the villages and we had, you know, bags full of things and from books, pencils, papers, maybe sweeties and something for the adults perhaps. But it was really, it wasn't just like, oh my God, there's a boat out in the bay. It was like, my goodness, like there's somebody coming ashore to come and meet us. They've got gifts. It's that interaction.
Yeah.
And, you know, from a zero waste perspective. So, you know, if we have clean energies and we're not, you know, that we're zero emissions, that we're actually giving more than we take. And once we start to do that and we start to capture data around that, I think that has a real opportunity for the yachting industry to start improving its reputation. Then we will actually have some sort of, with the data, we will have some sort of tool to show, to showcase to the marketplace, to the media about how the operation of a yacht can benefit people, planet, and economy. That's just a little bit about my background.
I understand. It's about bringing something that not only calm, put the anchor, and completely understand that. It's just add value to the area you are going. And I completely agree with you. It's what we can see with some vessel, you know, for explorer yachts like Cassin. They are doing some courses on board with the children. I remember they went to Dominican Republic because my father lived there, and then they went there a couple years ago to give courses to children about environment, ocean, pollution, blah, blah. That would be very interesting just because the thing is, again, communication, transparency, and bringing more than taking.
Yeah.
This is true.
Yeah. Well, the ex-CEO of Unilever, Paul Polman, with his colleague Andrew Winston, wrote a book called Net Positive. It's about creating stakeholder value. And the title's Net Positive, and it's about how companies thrive by giving more than they take. And there is a very strong business model and business case around giving more than you take. And I think once when having a look at that model and applying it to the yachting industry, I believe actually has significant value. And you mentioned what, you know, value proposition. I talk about value proposition, value we're bringing. Well, we're under real scrutiny from media at the moment because we're not bringing enough value. What's our purpose, etc. So for me, it's really in synergy with what ETYC is doing in tackling those topics to reduce waste. Fundamentally, the first step that we must take is reduce and having a deeper impact, perhaps in the communities, is one of the strategies. So, and the education point as well, we know it's absolutely critical. Yeah, I would love to do your course.
You are more than welcome. Of course you are.
So there we go. I would love to do the course. Tell me about what take-up you've had.
Yes.
What is one point that we chatted about was intention and interest, and the other chat is about actual take-up of money over the counter. So how's it going?
So you are talking about the price of the course.
I'm talking about how has your service been received in relation to how many transactions have you actually made? How many?
So actually every captain, I think I had one captain one day who said nothing to do with this, but 99% of all the captain crew, they think, oh, we are missing this in the yachting industry. Looks really nice. We need this in STCW, but to sign, people take more time because there is no regulation, no obligation for them to do it. So we were really lucky to have captains with big value. So the smaller boat we have is a 30 meters. It's a support vessel of 73 meters that we've done both boats of the same owner, that it was the owner request because he loves the ocean. So he asked if the crew can be trained. And of course, the captain of the 73 meters row was already very sensitive captain and with big value about the ocean. So the smaller boat we have is a 30 meters yacht. The bigger is 73 meters. We have 5 ETYC yachts now, and we have done 3 this year. We hope we will have a bigger one in 2023. We are in touch with 3 80 meters. So we hope these 3 boats will sign during 2023. Every crew, we had sometimes who said, oh, most of the time was the engineer or around, the CEO that I said to you that after the 2 days training for head of department, the ETO came to me and he said, I would like to tell you something. When the captain told me I had to do the training, the environmental training, I thought, I'm going to lose my time. 2 days, we are in a rush. The owner wants to use the boat in 2 weeks. We are not ready. Why should I do this training? It's not my job and it's not for me. And then he said, and during this 2 days, I didn't watch my watch during the whole day. These 2 days fly so fast. And then he said, I can see my job so differently now. And thank you. This was the best feedback from the crew for us because it's not easy to educate or to train already sensible crew for the ocean. The biggest step is to convince the other crew who doesn't care about the training, that to show them why it's important to do it and why on their position they have power, to show them the power they have on their position, that they can make the difference. And then that happened. So we had no bad feedback. Every crew are really happy, captains too. We had very good feedback from guests, also from Chatham Yachts. So we are waiting data from our boats to show to the yachting world that what we are doing, what's the result of our training on board.
Excellent. Yes. Sustainability is profitability. And I believe that if you have a charter boat, mirror image, same yacht, same crew, mirror image, one of them has ETYC, is flying the flag, then, and the other one isn't, which one are you going to choose?
Exactly.
So, well done.
Thinking, yeah. So next time you are in, right, I will add you to this.
Well, I think it's what I was trying to, highlight is that, well, like you said, 99% of us, you know, captains, we're seafarers. It's our working environments, and it's natural for us to want to protect that. And we love nature and to be on the ocean. And so we're motivated. We're in the space. Sometimes that motivation, even for a, I have to say, you know, quite a small investment from a training perspective would actually reduce operational cost from my experience. And it would improve efficiency. That, you know, cost could be recouped after, you know, a time period, after a couple of years. So it's really a no-brainer to implement, you know, such a system on board. But there is a point where it goes from the captain's motivation to have to go to the manager, to the owner, and the family office, whoever's making the senior management decisions, to actually pay for it. And as you so eloquently put, well, that without regulation, there's no obligation, which I love that phrase. I don't like what it stands for. But yeah, I mean, sometimes we do need regulation to put these systems into place. And when we have the garbage management plan, we have systems on board, which you have reviewed, you've analyzed, you've broken them down. You said, really, like, we need something that's yacht specific.
Yes.
That's, you know, so it's highly commendable. I'm very happy to hear your story, Claire, and to, you know, to learn and where you put your energy to make yachting better. So I'm glad you're listening. Thank
you very much, Nigel. And I have one a very nice story about the last summer that I wanted to share with you. So the boat I used to work on 7 years, the owners knew about the company I was building here in Monaco. And so they were supporting me. They asked me many times how your company is going, how the training is going. So they knew about environmental management system, the training about environment. I showed them the brochure, everything. So the owner was sharing this to her friends, her guests during the summer. Oh, look what our chief supplier is doing. Because I was on some magazine here in Monaco with portrait profile, sometimes like some magazine. So I brought the magazine on board. And so the last summer I was on board because I left the boat in May. And I received during the summer a message from a number, an unknown number. And the message was, look, Claire, you will be proud of us. And signed by one of the guests of the boat. And he sent me a video of himself. He was cleaning the water, the sea, with a fishnet on the tender in Capri, on the arch of Capri, and asked the first officer to make a video of him cleaning because he said to the crew, the water is dirty. Let's clean it because Claire is doing fighting for clean the ocean. And then he cleaned and he sent me the video like, look, you will be proud of us. The guest did this.
Very good.
So you see, you just need to talk about this, educate, talking about this, that will help people. Sometimes you are like, yeah, I'm not going to do it because I feel shy. But if everyone around you knows that they can do it, they knows about it, they will support you. So you will act as a team and not as a single person. And you feel support. For us, it's this, the power of ETYC. It's a community.
Yeah. It's ingraining it into the crew culture, into your onboard values, crew culture, and your operations. Yeah. I mean, it's non-negotiable.
No.
I have to say. And it's a win-win. for all stakeholders, from owners to charterers to the ocean, the planet, the industry, the media, the agents. Everybody wins from adopting this. So thank you very much indeed, Claire. It's been a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome. Everybody, you've been listening to The Impact Show on Yachting International Radio, where we've been talking to Claire from ETYC Environmental Yacht Training. And where we've been having a great conversation, exploring what Claire's been up to with her initiative and training crew on the reduction of waste and even having a more impactful contribution towards local communities and economies. So thank you very much indeed, and we will be seeing you next time.
Thank you.